Rock of Ages, cleft for me. We want to talk this morning about this song and two other songs that kept coming to mind when I first started thinking about doing this lesson on Rock of Ages. This is one of the songs that I've gotten from some over the years that I'm pulling from for most of these lessons. Regarding our songs, I think it's important that we take the time to consider the message of our songs, because we're supposed to be learning from them. We're supposed to be encouraged from them. We're supposed to be lifted up through our singing, and it is supposed to be offered to God as worship. And so we need to have an understanding of what our songs are teaching. And as I was thinking about this particular song, Rock of Ages, there were a couple of other songs that kept coming to mind having a similar idea. And I thought, well, maybe I'll do some lessons on it. And then I thought, well, why don't I just include those in this lesson? And I do want to take the time to read through those songs. Now, the song we just sang, Rock of Ages, of course, we're kind of familiar with, but I do want to mention, verse 2 says, "Could my tears forever flow, could my zeal no languor know, these for sin could not atone, thou must save and thou alone, in my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." And there's another verse that follows that that's not in our song books, for one reason or another, but it kind of continues that thought, and I want to read it as well. "Not the labor of my hands can fulfill the law's demands. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Vile I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die." And as I said, it kind of carries that same idea with it that we have there in verse 2 of, no matter what I do, I cannot do enough to save myself. I am entirely dependent upon Christ. And I think that's part of what we need to recognize when we think about these songs. Now, another of the songs that I had is at that same opening, song number 367, "The Rock That Is Higher Than I." And it has a similar thought to it. "Oh, sometimes the shadows are deep and rough seems the path to the goal. And sorrows, sometimes how they sweep like tempest down over the soul. Oh, sometimes how long seems the day and sometimes how weary my feet. But toiling in life's dusty way, the rock's blessed shadow, how sweet. Oh, near to the rock, let me keep. If blessings or sorrows prevail, to the rock that is higher than I." And then song number 651, "Hide Me, Rock of Ages." And this may not be familiar to some of you, but a similar thought. "O thou blessed Rock of Ages, trusting now, dear Lord, in thee, keep me till my journey's ended, till thy blessed face I see. Keep me when the storm clouds gather, till the sun comes shining through. Keep me till my work is over, till I bid this world adieu. When my journey is completed and there's no more work to do, Savior, guide my weary spirit to that land beyond the blue. Hide me, O blessed Rock of Ages, till thy blessed face I see. When the storm around me rages, Rock of Ages, hide thou me." Those three songs have some very common elements to them, as well as the songs that Brother Shannon led this morning. I had told David Wednesday night I had three songs that I was going to talk about, and I'd send him a list. He said, "Send it to Shannon. It's his month." So I sent it to both of them. And I found out this morning Shannon knew one of them, David knew two of them. So I know what we're going to be singing, at least partially, on our singing night this month. But the songs that Brother Shannon selected, he said, I found some more songs on the rock. The other song that kept coming to mind is not one he picked. It doesn't have rock in the title. "The Lord's Our Rock, in Him We Hide, a Shelter in a Time of Storm." It's got a similar idea to this. The songs that we just got through singing talk about our dependence, our hope, our trust in Christ. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. Because when we look at these songs that talk about Jesus as our rock, and almost all of them have phrases that tell us that it is Jesus who is our rock. Several of them make mention of His sacrifice. And when we start thinking about Jesus as our rock, there are four things that come to mind when I start thinking on that and considering. And the first of those four things is protection. Now maybe that's not the thing that comes to mind first when you think about that, but the first thing that comes to mind when I think about Jesus as my rock is a place of protection. And part of that's because when we go back to the Old Testament and we read from the books, especially from the Psalm and from the time of David in the days of Saul, you remember when Saul was trying to kill David? David spent a lot of time hiding in the rocks. And there's a lot of Psalms that talk about that. Much like Psalm chapter 61 and verse 1 through 4 is all we'll read of that. Hear my cry, O God. Give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been a refuge for me. A tower of strength against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings. Now there's three different ideas presented there regarding protection. The rock, the tent, and the wings. All of them talking about finding a place of protection and security with God. And if you read through the history of Israel, you read through various stories in the book of Genesis and the stories of Israel hiding from their enemies, many times they hid in the rocks and caves. Why? Because that was a protective place. And so we find that image used very often in regards to Jesus and God the Father as well, talking about how He is our protection. He's our shelter, our place of safety. Now, when we talk about that in particular in regards to Christ, we recognize, as these songs tell us, or remind us, that Jesus is our protection because of His sacrifice. Because of what He has done for us. That's why He is our King. That's why He is our rock. Because He was willing to step in on our behalf and stand between us. And what we need to recognize, as these songs teach us, is that no matter what our situation, no matter our circumstances, we need to look for our shelter and our safety to Jesus. He is a place where we can know we're saved. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 and 4, the steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. You know, even in our day and age, when somebody wants to hide or find safety from an enemy, they go to a place that either is similar to or may even be rock. We search out rock as a place. You can't read a Louis L'Amour Western without finding somebody going to hide in the rocks so that the Indians don't find them. You know? All sorts of things of that nature that we read, that we watch. It's a place of protection and shelter. And I think that's what these songs are telling us about Jesus. We can have peace in this life because we have Jesus to protect us, to guard us. He told His apostles, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Now, this is in John chapter 14. This is His last message to them before His death. He knew what they were going to be dealing with. And He said, "You have peace in me. So don't let these things bother you." There are a lot of things in this life that can disturb us, that can cause us problems. We've got many here who have sicknesses and injuries and such that need to be dealt with. Where do we find peace from that? We find it in the protection of our Savior, knowing that He is there for us, that He's guiding us and He's helping us. Our world is morally falling apart. Well, morally fell apart. Where do we find protection from that? In Christ. That's where we find it. in Christ. We can find peace. We can know that in Him all things will work out as they ought to, as long as we keep our focus upon Him. In John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29, Jesus said, I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Paul talks about this in the book of Romans, and he lists all kinds of things that might cause us problems, but he says, don't worry about any of those things, because none of those things can take you away from God. If we are in the shelter, safety of our rock, Jesus, no one can pull us away. Now, we can walk away. Don't get me wrong. Our biggest struggle is with self. We need to make sure that we don't let self get focused on other influences than Christ. Then we lose His protection. We lose that rock and we lose that peace. But if we keep ourselves with the rock, Jesus Christ, our Lord, there's nothing that can take us away. And nothing can take that from us. He is a solid rock. And certainly we recognize and understand the characteristics of solid rock. But another thing that comes to mind as I'm singing these songs, and it has to do with this idea of protection, but also we have strength that we are able to enjoy in our own lives because we have Jesus, our rock, to depend upon. There's been a lot of storms around the world. We've had earthquakes, we have hurricanes, we have tornadoes, we have thunderstorms and floods. And one of the things that is essential for something to remain, for something to be strong in those extreme weather events, is that it must be founded on solidity. It must be on a good, solid, firm foundation. And of course, when we think of that, we turn to Matthew chapter 7, and we read about the wise man and the foolish man. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, one who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Our life is filled with struggle and sadness that is doing its best to overwhelm us. Life itself has enough troubles, but then we have Satan and his servants trying to destroy us as well. And what we need in order to stand firm in those instances is a solid foundation upon which to stand. And Jesus is that solid foundation. He gives us what we need in order to survive. Another point in regards to strength that we see in these songs is the idea that our journey wears us down. Many of us have a few decades behind us, and we've been fighting this battle for much of that time. Sometimes it begins to seem to us that it's just a struggle that I'm just tired and worn out. I just don't know if I can keep going. But if we have Jesus as our rock, there's our strength to continue to stand firm for truth, to continue to put our trust and our hope in Him, because He will provide for us. One of the texts that came to mind and was in some of the research was making reference back to the children of Israel when they were wandering in the wilderness and they were thirsty. They didn't have any water. And God told Moses to go and strike the rock. And that rock broke open. There was a cleft in the rock. And it poured forth the water that they needed. It was a place of strength. It refreshed them in their journey. I wonder how many times that we're feeling down and worn out if we would just turn to the pages of Scripture and read the message of God. Wouldn't that help us to deal with those struggles and difficulties a little bit easier? When problems arise in our life, when it seems like life is beating us down and nothing is going right, maybe we go read in the book of Job a little bit. Go read in the Psalms. Go read in the stories of David trying to stay alive when King Saul wants to destroy him. These things can give us strength. They can refresh us and provide us with what we need. And above all, certainly, the message of Christ. In Romans chapter 6, verse 7 through 9, he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. You know what that tells us? There's something worth looking to. There's something more than this life. As Paul told brethren elsewhere, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. What gives us the strength to carry on, to continue to move forward, is the knowledge that Jesus, though He was crucified on the cross, rose from the dead. And that gives a promise to us that there is something more than this life, something greater than this life. And when we read the things about heaven, and here I'll reference our study in Revelation. Revelation chapter 21. The New Jerusalem. And we'll continue that study in chapter 22 this evening. When we read about heaven and how it is a place of rest, place of comfort. It is home. It gives us the strength to carry on. I've used the example many times before. When you go on vacation, everybody's all excited about going somewhere new. But it doesn't take long till, at least for me, till I'm remembering my bed's back at home. And I really like being at home instead of somewhere else. So, I'm usually not gone for very long. I look forward to getting home. We look forward to being with family. There's a strength in that. There's a refreshing of the spirit. Worn out, but it's time to head home. Okay, we get a little burst of energy there. We're going back home. And then we get home and realize we still got to unload the car. And we lose it again, but we're home. We get that little bit of encouragement and strength. And we can do that with Christ. If He is our rock, if we're depending upon Him, if we're trusting in Him, we know that there's something beyond all this struggle and trial. There's more than just get up in the morning, go to work, do our job, come back home, get a little rest, go to sleep, get up the next morning, and repeat it all over again. There's more than that. There's something beyond this life. And we who have our trust and hope in God through Christ have that strength. Jesus as our rock is a strengthening force for our souls as well. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. Recognizing our wrongs in light of God's Word and seeing that there is a remedy for that is much better than just regretting that we got caught and moving forward in the same condition. Remember, Jesus tells in Revelation chapter 3, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. The Word of God gives us strengthening so that we can bear up, make the adjustments, and change our ways. We need that rock that is Jesus, our Savior. He is a strengthening force within us. He provides us with spiritual sustenance so that we can live. No matter how long our journey, no matter how much difficulty we run into, if we put our trust and hope in Jesus as our rock, we have a place of strength to carry us through. We have a place of strength that can provide for us rest. The third thing that I saw in looking at these songs, and had several others as I pointed out, that came to mind while I was preparing for this lesson. But the third thing that I thought as I looked at these songs, Rock of Ages talks about this a good bit, and so do the other two to some degree or another, and that is salvation. Salvation. I referenced those old westerns, and those old westerns, when the cowboys saw the Indians coming, and they started looking around to see what they had, and they found a big old nest of rocks right up against a mountain where nobody could come up behind them because it was just a solid rock face up there. And they could get behind those rocks and they could find them a nice place of safety. They recognized they had a chance at surviving. When we look at what Jesus did for us on the cross, and the message of the gospel of Christ and how He died to pay the price for our sins. And we hear the message of Peter to those Jews who had crucified Him, who cried out for Him to be crucified. And they heard the message of Peter there on the day of Pentecost that Jesus had been made both Lord and Christ, that they had crucified the Savior. Their question was, what do we do? Where's our place of safety? How can we be saved from what we have done? Well, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins in the name of Jesus Christ, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he continued to talk to them and to encourage them, and many of them believed and were baptized, and they were added to the church that day. The Philippian jailer, when he had Paul and Silas in prison, and the earthquake came and the doors opened and he was just certain that all his prisoners had gotten away. And Paul cried out, do yourself no harm, for we're all here. That Philippian jailer went running to the feet of Paul and said, what do I do? And Paul took full advantage of that. I know there's some question as to whether he was saying, what do I do regarding my situation with the Romans, or what do I do to be saved? But Paul took advantage of that and he told him what he needed to do. He taught him Jesus. And once he had taught him and his household Jesus, they heard the word. They went the same hour of the night and were baptized and they rejoiced. The message of Jesus Christ as our Savior is a message of salvation. And when we really stop and consider our lives, we recognize that we need something. We need God. We need salvation. The psalmist says, in you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me quickly. Be to me a rock of strength, a stronghold to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you will lead me and guide me. This ties in with the strength we have from Christ and the protectiveness and protection we have with Christ as our rock. Because with that, we are saved from the problems and sin of this life. And as Rock of Ages says, we ought to rejoice in our knowledge of that salvation. We ought to rejoice because the sacrifice of Christ is there on our behalf, because we understand that no matter what we do, we could never help ourselves, no matter how hard we might try. We need God. We need Jesus. He is our salvation. He is our rock. Paul told Titus He saved us, not on basis of the deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. He saved us. He is our salvation. By grace you have been saved, Paul told the Ephesian brethren, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. But never take that to mean that we're saved without doing anything, because Scripture tells us that we have to take advantage of that salvation. We have to fly to the rock to receive the benefits of the rock. We have to, as David said in Psalm 31, in You I have taken refuge. He didn't say, You have given me refuge. He says, in You I have taken refuge. I came to You, my rock of strength. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 4, coming to Him as to a living stone which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Think about that for a minute. We come to Him as living stones, built up into a spiritual house for what purpose? To offer up spiritual sacrifices. What do you reckon those spiritual sacrifices are? Well, first and foremost, it's giving our life to God. But right along with that, it is doing everything we do for God. That's our works that demonstrate our faith, that show our belief and our trust. He says, this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in Him will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the Word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Through Christ, by coming to Him, we can be one of the living stones in the building that God is building. A spiritual house offering spiritual sacrifices to a spiritual God. We do that when we come together on the Lord's Day and we worship in spirit and in truth. We do that when we talk to others about the gospel and tell them about the saving power of the blood of Jesus Christ, about the sacrifice that He made. When we convince others that God created the world and therefore we need to give attention to what God has said. And we talk to them about how God's plan has been in existence from the very beginning, that everything we read in the Old Testament is building up to the coming of the Christ. And then we have the story of the Christ and what He did for us. And then everything after that is pointing back to what He has done for us and what He expects of us because we are His children. Those who are obedient to His Word receive these blessings. Those who are disobedient receive the curses. It is not a once and done, but a continual walking with Christ as our rock. It is a continual service unto God. But we have that salvation through Jesus, our rock. Without Him, there is no salvation. And without salvation, we have no foundation. We are left to our own desires. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, Paul says, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of the world, since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." And I know Paul's main point there has to do with the message being preached. But the principle applies in so many other places. Man has all kinds of ideas about what life is for, what life is all about. There are many in this world who think that life is just enjoy it while you can. He who has the most toys at the end wins. Get all you can while you're here. Just enjoy life and move forward. Eat, drink, and be merry. For tomorrow we may die. But that doesn't lead to eternity with God. That doesn't give us any comfort. That doesn't give us strength. That doesn't give us any protection from the things that are going on in the world. If mankind is simply to go out and do whatever he wants to do, then we're not protected from anything. I can't tell anyone they're wrong if everyone's just supposed to do whatever they think is right. Now, I recognize there are many in the world today who think, well, no, that's not what I'm saying. We need to do what the majority, most of mankind thinks is right. Well, which most of mankind are you going to listen to? The ones who cut people's heads off because they don't like how you worship or how you live? The ones who want to take everything from whoever has anything and give it to those that don't have anything? Without God, we don't have that foundation. That's why Jesus is our rock. He is the foundation. He provides us protection. He provides us strength. He provides us salvation from ourselves. I'm convinced that sometimes we don't think that through enough to recognize that I'm the biggest danger to me. And what I need to do is fly to the rock. Be sheltered in the rock. Put my hopes, my dreams, my all in the hands of Jesus. We trust in rock as a solid foundation. Here's another one of those illustrations from things I've watched in the past. Anybody ever watch the movie Tremors? Don't show your hands. Watch that. They even had a TV show at one time. They had a bunch of B-movies that came out of it too. But one of the big things there is as long as they stayed on the rock, they never knew they were there. I wonder sometimes if maybe that's an idea we need to keep in our life. As long as we stay in the rock, evil doesn't know we're here. Because we're so covered up in Christ that we're protected from. We're protected from. That leads us to the last thing that I thought of as I was looking at these songs and considering them, and that is, our rock gives us hope. Just like it gave hope to those cowboys in those westerns when they saw a nice, solid, rocky area to hide in. Just like many people find a good, solid, rock, hard area is a protection from storms. I mean, there's a reason they build tornado shelters out of solid concrete. It's man-made, but still, it's like rock. That rock is our hope. It keeps us safe from all the dangers and troubles of life that Satan and his servants throw at us each and every day. Christ is our rock, raises us above the fray, and provides for us a protection and stability in our journey. Provides for us hope. And we can be faithful, trusting in that hope. Because Jesus has already overcome death. Christ has ascended to sit at the right hand of the throne of God. And because of that, we can know that there is something beyond this life. There's something more than the struggle and sorrows that we deal with each and every day. And if we will keep our hope and our faith in Christ as our rock, He's promised to give to us rest when this life is over. When you go read the story of the Israelites leaving Egypt, and then of course especially their wandering in the wilderness, one of the constant things they were reminded is if you will just serve God, He will lead you to the rest that He has promised. Now the Hebrew writer tells us that those ancient fathers and the nation of Israel even, they received the blessings, the promises God had given, but they did not receive the rest completely. The rest is still remaining for all of us. The Hebrew writer tells us that it is appointed under man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Matthew tells us in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. And you go read Matthew chapter 25 and you have that judgment scene. And at the judgment scene, there's a division of men. There are those who trusted in God and did His will, and there are those who did not trust in God. They trusted in themselves. They trusted in the world. They trusted in others. And only the ones who put their trust in God and lived in accordance with His will, only those who trusted in the rock were able to enter into the eternal rest that was promised. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 78 and verse 35, and they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God their Redeemer. Jesus, Christ, we're told in the New Testament, was the rock that was behind the Israelites. Followed them, provided for them, cared for them. He was their protection from their enemies, and He is our protection from our enemies today. We need to surround ourselves with Jesus as our rock. We need to fly to the rock. We need to cry out to God, hide me from the wickedness that is going on around. Protect me, Savior. And the way we do that is submitting ourselves wholly over to Him. Giving ourselves completely to Jesus. Jesus has told us that there awaits a blessed rest to those who will just follow me. Certainly. That journey begins by confessing our belief in Jesus as the Savior, as the Son of God, turning from following ourselves to surrounding ourselves with the rock that is Christ, to follow Christ exclusively, and being buried in baptism to have our sins washed away so that we can become a part of the family of God that lives in the rock. If you've done that in the past and you recognize this morning you've strayed from that path, you've walked out into the world and you don't have the protection of Christ as your rock, you've lost His strength and thereby lost your salvation, we urge you to come back. Confess your wrongs. Seek forgiveness from God, and He's promised that He will wipe them away as if they've never been. There is never a time in life where we cannot get to the rock. But it's going to take a conscious effort, and it's going to take dedication to get there and remain there. But it is the only hope that we have if we want to be with God in eternity. If you look this morning and find your subject invitation, won't you come? While we stand and sing for your encouragement.